Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Well, folks, today we wrap up our 75th show on the subject of books that were given away as Christmas gifts by the First Presidency between the years 1981 to 2017. And Eric, as we finish this series, let's once again let people know how they can get a lot of the quotes that we cited either on air, as well as a lot of other quotations we just did not have time to cover.
And Bill, I want to say I've enjoyed this 15-week series. I think we have covered a lot of ground talking about quotes that have been used in books that were given away by the First Presidency. I think these are important quotes. So if you'd like to see those quotes, you can go to mrm.org. And in the search engine, just type in Christmas book. And the first article to come up is going to contain links to all of the books in the Christmas series. Today, we're going to be using quotes from the teachings of Harold B. Lee. But as you mentioned, Bill, we are not able to cover all of the quotes we put together. So you can click on to each of the books that we covered from 1981 to 2017, and I think you'll be fascinated to see some of the things that these leaders have said.
Yeah, I think that's good to bring out. This was never meant to be an exhaustive study, but as we've said in many of the programs that we have aired, you would think that the First Presidency felt that the books they were giving away as Christmas gifts for any given year must have had some kind of theological value, otherwise they wouldn't give them away in the first place. Well, if the First Presidency thought that they had some theological value, the fact that they're giving away the book, I think, gives special recommendation to those books.
You know, as we mentioned in the first week of the series, these are leather-bound books. They have gilded pages. They were put together at great expense. The only way you were going to get a copy is if you were a general authority or an employee of the church. So the only way I have most of the set is by purchasing them on eBay. The average book costs maybe $20 or $30. Some of the books go for a couple of $100, but these are mostly reprints of what we would call classic books, books written by all of the different presidents and the Apostle James Talmage, as well as the Standard Works. So these, I think, are the best of the best, and that's why we wanted to take such a long look at these books in this series.
One of the subjects that we want to look at today, as Eric has said, comes from the book, Teachings of Harold B. Lee. He was the 11th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The subject of Book of Mormon geography. Now, we know that this is a controversial subject even within the church. There are basically two camps in the Mormon church right now. Some hold to what's called a heartland model for the Book of Mormon geography. That would place the Nephites and Lamanites in North America, the United States area. And then you have another group, which is known as the limited geography model. And a lot of your BYU professors normally hold to this. Although, I don't think I would be wrong to say that people in either camp can shift as time goes by. I know some that used to be in the Central American limited geography camp that now feel that they are more in the heartland model camp. See, even when Harold B. Lee was alive, this was a controversy that he obviously was well aware of.
And he's addressing the seminary and institute faculty at Brigham Young University on July 8, 1966. And again, this is found in the teachings of Harold B. Lee. He said, "Don't be concerned over Book of Mormon geography. Some say the Hill Cumorah was in southern Mexico and someone pushed it down still farther and not in western New York. Well, if the Lord wanted us to know where it was or where Zarahemla was, he'd have given us latitude and longitude, don't you think? And why bother our heads trying to discover with archaeological certainty the geographical locations of the cities of the Book of Mormon, like Zarahemla?
Now, this is a classic whistling past the graveyard. And what I mean by that is this is a huge issue. At least you would think it would be a huge issue, mainly because the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints instills in its people that the Book of Mormon is talking about real places, real events, and real people. But yet there's no evidence to show that these people groups really existed at all. There are no artifacts in the History Museum across from Temple Square that are related to the Nephite people. You won't find anything like that on display. So this would cause some concern for a lot of Latter-day Saints. Now, you would think, well, does it concern you, Bill, that they haven't found everything in the Bible? No, it doesn't concern me at all. One of the reasons why it doesn't concern me is because of the wealth of things that have been found. The fact that they have found so much to support the biblical message tells me that the things they have yet to find, it's okay. It's okay with me. But when you find nothing for the Book of Mormon, it does tend to bolster the position that the Book of Mormon is nothing more than a 19th century novel.
When he says, some say the Hill Cumorah was in southern Mexico and somebody's pushed it down still farther, well, today, Brigham Young University faculty in the different departments there dealing with this science would pretty much say that it would be in either Central America or somewhere in that region and not in Western New York. It's interesting that Lee at the time was an apostle, and yet he doesn't seem to have any clue. It would seem like the leaders ought to have a better theory to be able to say, it's probably this. He's saying, I don't know what it is.
And I would argue that I doubt if the church is going to come out anytime soon to pick a position. It would just cause too much controversy within the church because, as you said, we have BYU professors holding on to the Central America or limited geography theory. But then you have prominent Mormons like Glenn Beck, who last I heard was still holding on to the Heartland model. So that would cause a lot of controversy among the members. And yet this is an issue that I agree with you should be discussed and determined by the leadership. And you would think they would be able to do that by revelation, if by nothing else, you would think. But yet they don't. They remain pretty much silent on this subject and allow members to believe whatever they want. Now, in light of where the Book of Mormon lands are located and the fact that there is no evidence archaeologically or historically for the Book of Mormon itself, no doubt has caused a lot of people to leave. But what does Harold B. Lee have to say about those who would not listen to the guiding of their prophets?
Page 392. Today, the greatest enemies we have are those who, for flattery of the world, would betray the Savior by denying his prophets and making light of church pronouncements on vital issues that strike at the very foundation of the Lord's work. Such we have among us today, make no mistake.
I want you to notice, folks, how he equates the Savior with the Mormon prophets. If you deny what the prophets are telling you, basically what you're doing, in their eyes at least in Harold B. Lee's eyes for sure, that somehow you are denying the Savior himself. But yet we know by studying history of the LDS Church that a lot of times their leaders made comments that modern Mormons would say that's not in harmony with what they think God would have taught or wanted his people to believe. So if you disagreed with those leaders, you really weren't betraying the Savior at all, but yet Harold B. Lee is making that distinction here. He also said a couple of pages prior to this that people apostatize due to ignorance or sin.
In 9 cases out of 10, I'd say in every case, those who apostatize from this church do it from one of 2 reasons, either because of their ignorance of the doctrine or because of their sinfulness and falling away from truth. Bill, how many times have we talked to former Latter-day Saints, and the second one for sure, that they're being accused that they must have done something wrong, or maybe somebody hurt them is one he does not list. But those seem to be very common reasons that people assume somebody has left the one true church.
I'm not saying that there have not been people who have left for these two reasons. I think the odds are that there probably have been people who have left for those reasons. But to make this kind of a condescending statement, I think, is an insult to the many Latter-day Saints who suffered in making their decision to leave the church. You and I have talked to numerous former Mormons who tell us the story, sometimes through tears, of how they had to make a decision to leave a church that their family was so attached to, knowing that it was going to have repercussions that would be harmful to their family because of the pressure that they would be getting from loved ones after the decision for them to leave.
Do you think many Latter-day Saints in the 21st century are leaving what they have always known as the quote-unquote one true church, as I mentioned before, due to their ignorance of the doctrine?
No, there's always going to be an exception to the rule. But I think that in most cases, it's because they're very familiar with the doctrine, and the doctrine bothers them. They look into their history and they see some of the things. For instance, look at some of the things that Brigham Young taught. I mean, a lot of the things he said were just flat out silly. But yet, at the time when he taught those things, you were expected to believe it because he is the living prophet. Now, the excuse that Mormons will make today is, well, yeah, but Brigham Young is not the living prophet now, as if somehow the truths that he was allegedly teaching back then are not truths today. The problem with that argument is he was the living prophet at the time he was saying these things, and people were expected to believe he was telling them the truth when we know now he wasn't even close to the truth.
I mean, let's take a look at some of the issues we hear regularly of reasons why people leave. Book of Mormon, the problems with that. That Joseph Smith used a seer stone to translate the Book of Mormon, the first vision and all of the different accounts. We've got the Book of Abraham and its problem. We've got Joseph Smith and his polygamous ways. A lot of people did not know that Joseph Smith was married to more than 30 women, which has been admitted by the church in the Gospel Topics essays. And I mentioned that essays, which were produced by the LDS Church from 2013 to 2015, a dozen essays that have caused great consternation to many faithful Latter-day Saints who did not know this information before. I don't think it's because of ignorance. I think it's because of the knowledge they receive. And some have even told us they've gone to MRM.org and received information that helped them to leave the church.
This is why I think that Harold B. Lee, in making this comment that people apostatize due to ignorance or sin, is, as I stated, a bit condescending. Folks, you probably have never had conversations with people who have left the church and told you their story. Eric and I have heard many of them. They're heartbreaking, but we thank God for the fact that He has brought people out of the LDS Church and that many of these people have found a saving relationship with the Jesus of the New Testament.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.